We are powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, and I got Ray Kaplan on the line from financialrelief.com. And Ray Kaplan, has this been the busiest week of your life?
Close to, yeah. This has definitely been a very, very busy week. A good week, but a busy week for sure.
Right, and we got a lot of questions to get to. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions about the student loans you have, your kids have, your grandkids have, if you're confused about what's covered or not, we'll try and get as many answers as we can, although it's still a changing situation. And let's jump right in. We got Craig from Buffalo Grove. Good afternoon, Craig. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you have the same question I was going to ask Ray first. So why don't you fire away, Craig?
Well, first of all, I have three college loans that I was able to navigate and pay back. And I don't mind the proposal from the executive branch, but I had heard that the executive branch may not have the authority to do this, that the Congress may be the only authority to do this. So I was curious about that because we have one other college loan that we still have a small open balance.
It's a great question, Craig. We're going to put you on hold so you can listen to Ray's answer. And Ray, I know you're not necessarily a constitutional scholar, but this really does raise questions about what the executive branch has power to do. What have you heard from the Biden administration that they say, yes, this is our right to do this?
Yeah, this is a really interesting constitutional question, and we've been wondering this ourselves because for my practice, I can say that it's of interest to me because I want to make sure that there are not going to be legal challenges that will end up reversing this or doing something that would, you know, kind of change course for, you know, many of my clients and millions of people throughout the country. So the Biden administration is tying its authority to cancel the student debt to the coronavirus pandemic and a 2003 law aimed at providing help to members of the military. I do think that we can probably expect some legal challenges, but I think that's going to depend probably on midterm elections. But they're saying that the Biden administration's critics are saying without new legislation, because even Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi once argued
right.
that Biden didn't have the authority to do this. But there was a legal opinion that was released, and the Justice Department said that the HEROES Act of 2003 gives the administration sweeping authority to reduce or eliminate student debt during a national emergency. So they're basically tying it to the pandemic, as you know, all the relief for student loans has been tied to the pandemic. And that's what they're really relying on, which might actually skirt or avoid challenges to this forgiveness that the Biden administration is doing, which is probably good news for borrowers that are really relying on it.
Right. Maybe, because one could argue in court that we're on, hopefully, the tail end of an emergency. If it was truly an emergency, why didn't you do it on day one of the COVID, right? You know, right? I'm not saying my opinion. I'm
right.
just suggesting perhaps what other people could say. And it does set an interesting precedent, right? Even if you are gung-ho about this decision, you know, this does maybe give the executive branch more powers than you might be comfortable with in the future. Anyways, all things to consider. But Ray Kaplan, I can't even imagine what would happen if students were given the forgiveness. Like, who wants to challenge this, like, from a political standpoint? Like, who's
exactly.
the harmed party that's going to then say, I disagree with this so much, I'm going to give people back debt? That's not a politically advantageous position to take.
I agree. Although, you know, I'm interested to see how popular this decision is. I mean, we know it's popular on some levels, but I have to say we've been hearing a lot that it's actually unpopular amongst certain circles, too, just because
right.
people feel that it's unfair. So,
right.
you know, but I think you can make that argument with pretty much every policy initiative. There's going to be somebody who thinks it's unfair, right?
So. I will just say, and there's really great arguments against and for this, but we all pay for something out of our taxes that we don't like and have since the beginning of time. But that's
right.
how the system works, right? Like, they don't ask me where I want each dollar of my taxes to go. I'm not saying that it's
exactly.
I'm not saying it's wrong to that we can still debate it. It's a great debate to have. But at the end of the day, we're never going to satisfy everybody about where their taxes are going.
Right. And I think really what's bothering people is more of the overall moral question. Is this a good idea in general? Is this a good precedent to set? Do we want to start? Because people are saying that there might be an unintended consequence here in that universities might start charging. They charge more pretty much every year in tuition. Tuition has gone up almost every year across the board for universities. And what the criticism here is that if we start to give the idea that, oh, don't worry about what tuition is because, wink, wink, it's probably going to be forgiven, then there's an incentive for universities to just charge as much as they want, even more so than they already do, because there's probably going to be another forgiveness program.
Right. Or you might have students who maybe have been, as we've kind of lifted the veil on how expensive college is and warned students of it more so than we did 10 or 15 years ago. Maybe now there's this, well, yeah, it is expensive, but this happened once. I bet it will happen again. I'm going to take this, go for this degree that costs more. I mean, there's huge ramifications and things that we could talk for forever on this. And everyone's opinion is valid on this. Like, and there's people that have paid off this debt and they say, that's not fair for me. That's an entirely valid opinion to have and thought to have. And anyone who's shouting down each other saying you're wrong on this, I think that is missing a chance to have some actual discourse on this. All right, we got to get to some actual questions, Ray, okay?
Okay.
These are actual questions. I just mean like about the student loans themselves. So let's go to, and Craig, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Allie. Hey, Allie, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You sound like you're having a sunny day.
Oh, I'm doing okay. I have a new puppy, so I've got energy.
Yeah.
You know.
I love it, Allie. I love it. What's your question for Ray here on the Sunday?
Okay, I have a question. My daughter, we live in Northwest Indiana, and my daughter went to Paul Mitchell School in Chicago, which is a credited school. And it was like $25,000 for the year.
Oh, wow.
And I took a parent loan out, and it's paid off. She has not been able to pay her portion of it off yet. And with pandemic and, you know, in that industry, it shut down for like a couple of years.
Because for people that don't know, Paul Mitchell is a cosmetology, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And but it is a credited school.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so does she fall in the assistance program, please?
Interesting. Ray, good question.
Good question. So the two main things you want to look at are whether or not she is really going to fall within the income range. So that's the big thing. If she's single and she makes under $125,000 a year, or if she's married and they make under $250,000 a year, and she has direct loans, then she will qualify for $10,000 in forgiveness from the balance of her loan.
Direct federal loans, right?
Direct federal loans. Or if she received a Pell Grant, then she will receive $20,000 in forgiveness. There's also an interesting point in that when she went to school, if she was considered by the Department of Education to be a dependent, then they would look at the parents' income to determine her eligibility for forgiveness in that circumstance. So we're kind of still waiting to see how this is all going to be ironed out. Exactly. That's a little bit of a question mark there, because the Department of Ed considers students to be a dependent all the way up until the age of 24, unless they've been legally emancipated.
So, Ray, I think what Allie might ask, too, so an accredited cosmetology school, if it's a federal loan to go to that, that counts.
That counts. Absolutely.
It's not just academic loans like that we think of a tradition, quote unquote, traditional academic college.
No.
Hallelujah.
Any school will qualify as long as it's a federal loan. That's all you have to worry about.
All right, Allie. If you have any more questions. Oh. Yeah. Well, you sound happy. Just make sure you double check everything. Make sure it's a federal loan and all that. And you can always reach out to Ray. Ray, what's the best way for people to reach you, by the way?
Our website is financialrelief.com, or give us a call, 312-294-8989.
I love the way, I think it was John Williams, Ray, who said 312, Chicago zip code, 294, the tri-state, 8989, that's double Ditka. He's the one that said that, I think.
I know, that's so catchy, I love that.
I want to steal that from John Williams. Anyways, he's the one that came up with it. Ray, I'm going to put you on hold. We got questions coming in on the text line. Let's get yours on the phone line, too. 312-981-7200 is our number. After this on Let's Get Legal, Ray, we're going to try to get to as many of these questions as we can, okay?
Sure.
And I'm glad we're on Sunday, because I get arrested if I have you on more than twice a week. So this is a brand new week. So then we get a fresh start. All right, let's go to Beth. Beth, you're on WGN. Hey, Beth.
Hi. I had a question. I have Parent Plus loans, and I've been told I need to consolidate them into a direct loan. But then I also read that if you have a new loan, a direct loan, your payment count starts back at one. Huh. So my 120 payments are null and void then?
Okay, this is a very good question, and I will preface this answer by saying federal student loans and student loan law is a very complicated area.
No, because, you don't say.
Because of the way that the federal statute, number one, is written, and just the number of different types of federal student loans that there are. So federal Parent Plus loans are federal student loans. And Beth, are you employed full-time in the public sector right now?
Yes.
Okay. And so you're on your loans are FFELP loans currently, and you want to do a federal consolidation. Is that right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. If you have FFELP loans, that's F-F-E-L, that's the Federal Family Education Loan, that is a loan program that's essentially a dead program. If you are going to try to get your loans forgiven under the Biden administration PSLF waiver, you do want to do the federal consolidation to turn your FFELP loans into a direct federal loan and then apply under the waiver, which expires October 31st, 2022. The consolidation itself will take a couple, maybe a month and a half to get through. And then your loans will be transferred to MOHELA, who is the servicer that has a contract with the Department of Education to oversee all public sector loan forgiveness applications, including under this waiver.
So if you get the waiver, does that mean you don't have to start back at zero?
Exactly. So that means that your fear, which is normally the right fear to have, is that consolidating would reset the clock. But in your case, because you're proceeding under this Biden administration executive order, it's the right thing to do. But if you just want to be on the safe side and have us take a look before you actually do anything, I think that's probably the right way to go.
Does that make sense, Beth?
Okay. Yeah, I already submitted that application, so about a month ago.
Okay, good. And because you got to go quick here, but I would call Ray just to follow up with all that stuff. Okay, Beth?
Will do. Thanks a lot.
For sure. All right. I had a question on the text line, 773. I have a Parent Plus loan for three of my children. I hope it's $10K for each child for a total of $30K. Is that?
Nope.
No?
No, it's going to be $10,000. Or if that Parent Plus borrower received a Pell Grant when they went to school, then it's going to be $20,000 off the loan balance. But it's $10,000 or $20,000. That's it.
And not per kid?
Not per kid. Just if your balance is $50,000, you're either going to get $10,000 off or $20,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, 773. way to bring it down, Ray. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
let's go to Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Reason why I'm calling, I hate to admit on the phone, I'm a 72-year-old woman. I have $9,000 left in student loans.
You don't, Cheryl, I'm going to stop you. You shouldn't be ashamed of anything. You shouldn't be embarrassed. seriously, there's a lot of shame and embarrassment that comes with this stuff. And Ray, I know I speak for you when I say there's no point in being ashamed or embarrassed about anything like this.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, especially with the way the loan system is, it's more normal than not to have loans into your 70s. So please don't worry about that.
All right. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Cheryl. Okay. You keep going.
No, that's fine. I've been in healthcare for the last 20-some years.
Awesome.
It's the fact of I'm still working full-time. My salary is under the 125 mark from President Biden, but I was told to start to take Social Security because I was 72. So that's pushing me over the amount.
The income
requirement. So I want to know what she thinks about that.
Go ahead.
Right.
Ray.
So they're going to be looking at your income during the pandemic, so 2020 or 2021. So if they're also going to be rolling out an application to qualify for the forgiveness, and that's supposed to be by the end of October is what we're hearing from the Department of Education. So once they do release that, and we can certainly help you with this, but I would submit that application based on your 2020 or 2021 tax return, so that that Social Security that puts you over the top won't be considered.
How about that, Cheryl?
Oh, okay. So then, okay, so 2021, it was on there, but I could go against my 2020, which was that put me under.
That's right. You can use your 2020 income tax return.
I have another question. So, and Ray, correct me if I'm wrong. Cheryl says she has $9,000 left, so that could get wiped away in theory if everything works. Cheryl, did you pay during the pandemic on your loan, or have you paused it since it paused?
I started initially, but then I paused about a year ago.
Could Ray, and then this is to other people and other questions, isn't there something about getting refunds up to maybe the $10,000 if you did pay during the pandemic?
Yes. So if you have direct loans and you are making payments during the COVID CARES Act forbearance, which started March 13th of 2020, any payments right. that you made from that period of time, you can have refunded to you. But of course, that will add to the balance of your loan.
Right.
So in your case, it might not be a good idea, because once they do apply the forgiveness, then you're going to have a zero balance.
I see.
But
I see.
If you get the money refunded that you made, the payments that you made, if you get those refunded, then that might put you, you know, you might be, you know, at $11,000 or $12,000, and then find yourself with a student loan balance,
even though you see
what I mean?
So, yep.
Yeah, you just have to be kind of careful how you proceed. But that's great. Sounds like you are going to have the balance forgiven.
Yeah, Cheryl, sometimes I say I see to Ray, but I don't. But I know I'm just going to call her on Monday and she'll explain it to me. And you can do the
yes,
same thing,
can
Cheryl.
Can I have her phone number?
Oh, you sure can. Here it comes. You ready for it?
Yeah.
312-294-8989.
8989.
Yeah, it's the Chicago zip code, the tri-state tollway, Dicka Dicka, okay?
Okay.
And that was John Williams. I got to give him credit.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Cheryl, have a good one. Thanks for working in healthcare. Okay, Ray, thank you for helping people out. And, you know, honestly, people can call you if they are so confused and have no idea, right? Like, if someone's listening to this and they're like, I don't know, I need to walk through this, they can call you.
Yes, absolutely. Give us a call. And we also really like to do pre-debt planning. So if you have kids in high school, junior, senior year, now's a good time to put together a roadmap and strategy so you know exactly how you can pay for your kids' college and what exactly the payments will look like, or if you'll get forgiveness over and above this new Biden executive forgiveness. So, yes, all things student loans, give us a call.
We have a couple more texts here. 773, why is it always the public sector workers that are getting the help? Well, that's the law that was written. I can answer that for you. Where's the private sector help? Well, this would be the private sector help, right, Ray?
Yes, that's true. And here's another interesting thing. So the Biden administration has proposed making people's loans forgivable after people in the private sector have been making payments for 10 years as well. So normally the rule is if you're in the public sector and you make 10 years of payments, the balance of your loans plus all that interest gets forgiven tax-free. Now what they're trying to do is potentially make it the same rule for people who work in the private sector. So if you've been making payments under, you know, one of these plans for 10 years, then you would also be eligible to have your loans forgiven. The catch is that that would be considered taxable income.
Ah.
So they would send a 1099 to the IRS, and you might have to pay income taxes on that. Not if you're public sector, but if you're private sector.
And that hasn't happened
so
yet. That's not yet. Okay.
Exactly.
One last question. I think this is important because I'm someone that loses passwords, and I have no idea who I owe what. 708, where do you go to find out who holds your student loans now? They've changed hands a couple times over the pandemic. I bet there's people saying, I don't even know what website to go to.
Yes, this is a great question. And don't all go there at one time because this website is already totally overworked. But
right.
It's the government's website. It's the Department of Ed's website, which is studentaid.gov. You have to create an account, and they'll verify your account. And then once you've verified your account, so don't forget to write down your username and password and the security questions that they ask you and the answers that you gave to those security questions. But then once you've done all of that, all of your federal loans will populate in there, and you can click on and see all the details of your loans, what type of federal student loan it was, when it was disbursed, the interest rate, all of that good stuff is in that website. That's studentaid.gov.
And financialrelief.com is where you can go to talk to Ray. 312-294-8989. Ray, take a day off, okay?
Thank you so much, Don. Anytime.
We'll talk soon.